The book of Ephesians chapter 5, a passage we've read with you on Tuesday as we continue our meditation on the subject, the general theme, growing in the Spirit. Growing in the Spirit. As we have been emphasizing, growing in the Spirit is so important. And it is vital to every aspect of the Christian's life and service. Without it, there can be no real fruitfulness, no real enjoyment of the Christian life. And God's desire is that we not only be saved, but that we might rejoice in the Lord. As Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It is God's desire that we enjoy the Christian experience. I'm going to read from verse 14 again of Ephesians chapter 5 and through to verse 21. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, I'm sure the Lord would bless to us these wonderful verses. As I mentioned, we have said a lot to you since we have commenced in our sharing on this general theme. And perhaps you too have wondered, as I have, having heard messages like these on the ministry of the Holy Spirit very often, and leaving wondering how to know it, how to experience this satisfaction as a Christian, this life of peace and joy continually, regardless of circumstances, regardless of whatever life might hold for us. Yet these fundamental things will still be true. And I've left very often, having listened to such messages, disappointed, because you very seldom hear how to know it. They tell you all the wonderful things of the truth of the filling and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, but they seldom tell you how to know it, how to enter into it, how to experience it. And it only added to my frustration over the years. But God wants us to know it. I'm reminded of Hudson Taylor, who went to China. He was a very busy man in the things of Christ. And although he was busy seeing people saved, yet his ministry was a struggle. It was great difficulty in enjoying the ministry. Until one day, someone wrote him a letter. And in that letter, they mentioned some things concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And Hudson Taylor said in testimony, he said, once I was taken up with the blessings of the ministry, seeing people saved and all the rest. But now I'm occupied and enjoying the blesser. Yes, I'm still appreciative of the blessing, but I'm more satisfied now with the blesser. F.B. Meyer said, one evening as some men in conference gathered to pray, he said to the Lord, he says, Lord, I am too tired. I am too weary to go and agonize in prayer. But what they are talking about, I need more than they all. I need to know that power, that satisfaction, that calmness in the storms of life. F.B. Meyer was known for his pastoral work, his deepness in the Word of God, his effectiveness in preaching. But there was the struggle. And he said, Lord, I am too tired. He didn't go with the persons who went to pray for a special moving of God in their life. He went to his bed and went to sleep. But he said, Lord, I need it more than any of them. And he said, by faith, he committed himself to the Spirit. And he entered into that blessing of knowing the control of the Spirit in his life. And he too testified to the fact that though sometimes a burden is so heavy, the demands are so great, yet I can approach it with calmness. I can approach it with resolution because of the control of the Holy Spirit. And you and I am sure, want to know that. We want to know it continually. We want to experience it day by day. Well, God wants us to. God wants us to. He wants us to enter into the blessings of the control of the Spirit. But first of all, in order to know this, in order to know the filling of the Holy Spirit and the control, and let me just say here, it probably would be mentioned as we go along, the emphasis, of course, as I made on Tuesday evening, that when we think of the filling of the Spirit, we're not thinking of getting more of the Spirit, but the Spirit getting more of us. Because the moment you were saved, you received the Holy Spirit. He came in and he indwells us. And he is a person. And so a person, when we think of a person, you don't get one piece of them, the legs, and you get the head later on. No, you get the whole person. And so he is a person. So when we trusted Christ, he came and took up his abode in us. And as the scripture says, the Father has come and the Son has come and they are living in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. But the emphasis is control. The control by the Holy Spirit. He not only lives within us, but he will be in control of us. And so this is what you and I must keep in mind, lest we be carried away with a lot of folk who feel you got to get more of him, and you got to get more of this, and so forth and so on. But that's not the scriptures. The Spirit is to get more of us. Now, in order to know this then, in order to know this control by the Spirit, firstly, there must be a desire. There must be a desire for it, to know the control by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. They that hunger and thirst shall be filled. Hudson Taylor, he was a busy man, used of God in the salvation of souls, but he did not know that calmness and that power and that satisfaction. That calmness when things were not going right. And so he longed to know it. He read of others who knew it. And it doesn't have to do primarily with being busy, because those men were very busy. A great demand was on their life in preaching the word. And they saw people saved. But it's knowing the Spirit's control. And it's knowing his blessing, as I mentioned, in every situation. We must desire this. We must desire it. And if we desire it, the Bible says, we shall be filled. We must then have a desire for victory in the Christian life. In Romans chapter 7, we seem to have a picture of a person who has not entered into that ministry or that life of the Spirit where the Spirit is in control. And so when you read Romans chapter 7, you hear words like these. When I wanted to do good, evil is present. When I attempted to do that I knew I should do, I did that I should not do. And then you hear cries like this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And I am persuaded that there are a lot of Christians who are crying this day by day. They have no victory in their Christian life. They're not knowing this kind of power and the calmness in the situations of life. Just like Romans chapter 7. And to the end of Romans chapter 7, it says, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And up to this point, the Holy Spirit is mentioned once in Romans, and that's chapter 5. And when you come to chapter 8, he is mentioned 18 times. And so in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, let me read it for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If it was Paul referred to in Romans chapter 7, then we find him then in Romans chapter 8, knowing the overcoming life. The Lord of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. And so you and I do not have to continue to live a life of defeat. We can know spiritual victory in our Christian life. Also, we must have a desire for a fruitful life. Look at John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus here is talking about the fruitful life. And of course, you will understand that the fruit in John chapter 15 is threefold. There is the fruit that has to do with soul winning. Paul said, when he wrote to the Romans, he says, I write that I long to come to be with you, that I might have some fruit among you also. And so he was talking about people being saved. And so there is that aspect of fruit. And also, there is the fruit of the Spirit. There is Christian character. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. When you read the fruit of the Spirit, you will note this. You will note the character, love, joy, peace. We're going to deal with that in another message. But then also, there is the fruit of conduct. Not only is it the fruit of convert, easy to remember, a little alliteration here, not only the fruit of convert, and we have this, Romans chapter 1 verse 13, let me give you a verse if you're taking some notes, and not only is the fruit of character, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, but also the fruit of conduct, Romans chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. This has to do with conduct, how we live day by day, Now, the Lord Jesus then, in chapter 15, talks about fruit. And so in verse 2 he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 8. And this is my Father glorifying. Note that very, very specially. And this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now in that verse, it says to us that God is glorified if we bear fruit. If we bear fruit. Which means, if we do not bear fruit, as we have mentioned to you here in, as we have mentioned to you from Romans, Galatians, and also from Romans, then we're not glorifying the Lord. We're not glorifying the Lord. And the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. Because you see, as far as God is concerned, the only evidence of the Christian life of the Lord Jesus Christ that the world will see is that is seen through you and me. They will not see any other picture of the Christian life. We are ambassadors. An ambassador is one who represents a country. I understand that some years ago, an American went to France as an ambassador. And he was an alcoholic. And the French people thought that all Americans were alcoholics, were rummies. Because this is what the ambassador was like. And the Bible says of us as Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ, which means that what we convey to people is what they think of heaven, is what they think of the kingdom of God, is what they think of the people of God, the family of God. This is why it is so important for us to bear fruit. I ask you, are you satisfied then with your life in terms of fruit bearing? The Bible tells us that those who don't bear fruit, God removes them. If a branch doesn't bear fruit, he purgeth it. And if it doesn't bear, he moves it. He purges it. If it brings a bears fruit, excuse me, verse 2, every branch that beareth fruit, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But those that bear fruit, his interest is that they bear more fruit. More fruit. Because God is glorified through our bearing fruit. And so we must have a desire for a victorious Christian life. For a fruitful Christian life. But also for a satisfied Christian life. A satisfied Christian life. Now, I believe if Romans chapter 5 and the passage I have read with you is saying anything to us, it is saying that the person who is filled with the Spirit knows a satisfying Christian life. There will be no songs. No psalms and hymns and spiritual song making melody in our heart if we are not satisfied. That's a picture of a satisfied person. A person that is free from the anxiety. Not that they don't have difficulties. The only time that we will not have difficulties is when we get to heaven. But until then, there are going to be difficulties. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about we would be free from difficulties. We will be free from problems. We will be free from demands, material demands, and all the rest of them. No, it's not talking about that. But it's talking about a life that in spite of those things are satisfying God. That's what it's talking about. And those person can sing. They can sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. I read to you the other evening from Philippians chapter 4, another picture of the satisfying life. Paul says, I am satisfied. I am satisfied if I have something. I'm satisfied if I don't have anything. I'm satisfied. That's saying a lot, is it not? That's saying a lot. I know how to abound. I've had plenty in at times. Oh, I didn't know what to do with it. But then I know, too, times when I didn't have anything at all. But whatever situation I was in, I was content. I was content. And he says, you know, it's because I can do all things through Christ who gives me the wherewithal, who gives me the strength. Now, that's the Spirit-filled life. That's the Spirit-controlled life. When you can note the next verse, verse 20 of our text, when we can give thanks for all things. I've heard a lot of people say, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, where it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember, they said, don't now, they say, it doesn't say for everything, but in everything. Well, that's true in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. That's true. But when you come to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, that's the other side of the coin. It says, for everything give thanks. That's a little different, is it not? Oh, it's easier to give thanks in everything. It's easier. But now when you say give thanks for all things, like the old folks say, that's a horse of another color. But you see, to be filled with the Spirit is to be able to do that. And you will be able to do that. Hear me carefully now. This to me is very important. You would be able to do that as being filled with the Holy Spirit because you will understand a very fundamental truth of the Word of God concerning Christians. Turn to Romans chapter 8. You know it from memory, but I want us to read it tonight again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Now, I know you know it. Some of us, I've heard some of us quoted in Sunday school, but let's read it. It's a good thing this verse is in the Bible. And it has to do with the Christian. And we know, note now, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things. Now the key word in that verse is purpose, not all things. The key word is purpose. You see, God has a purpose for you and me. That's a divine purpose. You find the purpose in verse 29. In verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. This is the purpose now, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's God's ultimate for you and I as believers. He wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the divine purpose. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's the purpose. And so whatever comes into our life, whatever He allows to come into our life, whatever we go through, it's for the express purpose of fulfilling God's purpose. Therefore, when you are filled with the Spirit, you realize that all things work together for good. Now I know. Not one of us last night in our praying, prayed and gave God thanks for those young men being lost. Did we? Come on now, did we? No. That's hard. But if we believe that those things work together, you might not see it for the moment. But if the Bible is true, the believer is to give thanks for all things, because what we are looking at, we are not looking at the things that are seen. We're not occupied with the present so much as we are concerned about the ultimate. And the ultimate for you and I is conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say, I don't want you to get the impression, this evening that I have an easy time in giving thanks for all things. No, beloved. We've had some experiences in our life. Give thanks. Oh. We say everything else, but we don't give thanks. Painful, powerful things happen to your life. But you know, many times God works and gives us the privilege. He doesn't have to tell us why, you know. He doesn't have to show us the good at that time. He doesn't have to. He's sovereign. But sometimes he does he not? He shows us. And so hindsight, we can look back and we can see the good. We can see the good that has come out of it. One of the things I pray all the time is this, that my son's death would not be in vain. But that somehow we will learn from that. We will be blessed through that. But I'm going to tell you, it's a painful thing. It's been the most difficult experience in our life. But my continual prayer is, Lord, don't let it be in vain. Because there is a purpose in God's plan for what has happened. And whatever has happened in your life, and whatever will happen in your life, it's going to be in God's mind a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is conformity to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, listen. We must desire the satisfied life. There are abundant examples in the Word of God. I'm sure you know a lot. You can share some things with me of experiences and how this is true, the satisfied Christian life. And then I'm going to close, take up on next week, for we must have a desire for a godly Christian life. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. This is what it says. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Right, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly in relation to ourselves. Righteously in relation to the world. Godly in relation to the Lord, to God, in relation to heaven. When we come to 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 7 and 8, this is what it says. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. A desire for a godly Christian life. My prayer for myself as a Christian is not that I be a great preacher.
I know I'll never attain to that, or to have some status in this life. My prayer continually is that I might be a godly man. That I might be a godly man. And I believe God wants us to be godly people. May we have a desire to know the controlling power and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, day by day. Let's pray. Father, we have said a lot of things that are relevant to our Christian experience here in this life. One of the things that stands out in our own mind as we've been sharing is that truth again, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. And we know that Your purpose is that we be conformed to the image of Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is really, Father, a reproduction of the life of Christ in us. We pray then that we might be totally committed to You, that Your purpose might be fulfilled and we might know a life of blessing to Your glory and to our eternal good and to the good of those around us. We thank You again for our coming together, our sharing together, both in prayer and around Your word. Dismiss us now with Your benediction as we give You our thanks. In Jesus' name.